my God, my boyfriend's name. That's so funny.
Yeah, we said that we were like, someone's
Yeah.
on their boyfriend's computer.
Hey,
Aaron Satterthwaite.
and I, Brittany Menjivar, here
Here
by
by request,
request,
Josh
Josh
Ovalle.
Ovalle for
I'm
collaboration
collaborated with the
with
Internet
the
Is
Internet
Dead
Instead
podcast.
podcast. Please,
Please, Josh, be a
be
guest
a guest on this
on
podcast. We miss you.
podcast. Mine's broken. I feel like literally his like unruly teenage daughter now. Laptop.
Wait,
Very
guys, we're on Zoom together right now.
you
It's
know.
like we've known each other in real life.
I
I
know.
know.
I technically could have come, but I thought that would be weird if Britt was the only one on Zoom and I was like sitting next to you guys. How do I change? I actually do want to change my name.
That
Oh,
I
rename.
think if
Oh,
you
I loved how balanced this like this screen feels so balanced. We never have four people and it's like, wow,
yeah.
the whole thing is being taken up right now.
That's so
Also, it's
so
so nice to meet
nice.
you, Britt. How are
It's so
you?
nice to meet you,
Yeah.
my fellow Brittany.
Oh my God.
And you guys are on different coasts.
I
We
know.
are RIP.
We're just on the phone catching up, actually. Just
We were.
like I'm visiting here a little bit.
Yeah. It still feels like you're on vacation, low-key.
Yeah, you guys are best friends, no?
Yeah.
So how are you taking the distance?
Really weird. Not gonna lie. I don't know if I've told you this, Aaron, but I cried before you left. But
No,
like,
I cried too.
it was like a month before though. Like I feel like the month before, for some reason, I would like every now and then I would just like turn to Eric and then be like, Aaron's leaving and I won't be able to like text her and go to stories and I just like burst into tears. And then like the actual day that it happened, or like the last day that we had together in LA, then I would just kind of like, Aaron's going on vacation,
Yeah.
like back. I don't know. I mean,
Feels
I
like
feel,
that. And
yeah.
also, I've been telling everyone I'm gonna bully you into becoming more
Yeah, that's what
violent.
we heard.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's really funny though. Like the word has like I feel like Aaron and I have like really established ourselves as like a BFF duo. It's like I went to the ice cream shop the other day and I like knew the girl who was working there and she was like, so yeah, how are you like taking it like being without Aaron? Just
Oh
topic on
wait.
everyone's mind.
So, how did you guys meet also? Like, when did you become friends? And like, at what point
Yeah.
did you guys start car crash together? Because we were also talking about you guys with Alex Kazemi, because he was just saying how like you guys were having like he was like Britt is like heartbroken over Aaron's move,
Yeah.
and we were like relating because I feel like we're also kind of a best friend duo that people do that about.
Yeah,
We're
like
like, if I'm not
associate
with
together.
Yeah, like if I'm not with Samira, everyone's like, where's Samira? And if I'm not with
Yeah.
her, it's like the same thing and it's like a cute thing. So I'm
Like,
imagining you guys have the same
literally, when
thing.
I was like moving to, like, I decided I was moving to New York before Britney, and everyone was like, what is Britney gonna do? Like, what's gonna happen? Like, what are you gonna do without Britney? And it was really sweet. I moved to LA in 2022 and it was like, so I was like still getting settled in for a few months and then like I had some of my poems published in Dream Boy Book Club's like online journal and then I found Aaron had a poem published there as well and I think I'm not sure like who followed who first but we like followed each other on Instagram and then I like so desperately needed writer friends I like didn't have any in LA and I DM'd Aaron like, "Hi, I saw your poem. Like, I'm looking for writer friends in LA. Like, would you want to go out to dinner?" And we went to this like super random restaurant that
Electric owl
Electric
and
Owl in WeHo.
that's so sweet.
Yes.
Or something, because your boyfriend was living in the hills,
This is
which
true.
it
Different.
that's only funny because it's like that's not where really young people live.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of Wait,
like real
also, people. how old were you guys like at the time?
So this is 2023. So I had like just turned 24.
Okay,
I
I
don't
was
know.
27.
Yeah.
Was it Dream Boy Book Club or was it Spectrum? Maybe it was in tandem.
They probably
We
are
both
on
were
time.
there.
If
And
you've been published in Dream Boy and Spectra, like you know you're gonna be best wait,
friends.
so then did you guys just like start hanging out like regularly after that and then just like become close? So we have to tell the story of like the night of because that got something crazy happened there that sort of like set the tone for car crash. So
We sat down at this restaurant and basically like immediately we started telling each other like really graphic personal information.
Okay.
We have to be like best friends now. But what really like sealed the deal was so I was telling Aaron that like the year before I had been in this like really awful car crash where so I went to Yale for college, and while my dad was like, because my family's from Maryland, my dad was like driving up to like pick me up for fall break. And on the way home, we were like stuck in traffic. And then this semi truck was just like pulling into the traffic at full speed and like hit our car, and then our car spun. And like, I think like four cars were ultimately involved in the accident, and one of them was another semi truck. And I was sitting in the passenger seat, and the truck like went right through the passenger seat window and like stopped just like a few inches away from my head.
Oh my
And
God.
it was like super traumatic. I was super freaked out. Like,
Yeah, that's
if
really
I was
scary.
leaning a little bit, then I could have had like facial disfiguration or like brain damage. And it could have been like really bad, but I escaped mostly unscathed. But I was telling Aaron all about this. And then on the way from the restaurant,
Oh my God, wait, that's so scary. It was on her way home after you told the
yeah, I
story.
remember we talked about so much because I had just gone through this breakup and I felt like I was really alone at the time too. So like having a person in front of me for like the first time in like a month, I was like really desperate for human connection.
I was too. So it was like the perfect time.
She was telling me about this car accident and I was like really thinking about it. And when I got, it was raining in LA a lot, like more than usual. And it was like February,
Wow.
I say. And there's this intersection in Hollywood that's like double lanes. And then there's like, you have to go over those double lanes.
Wait, what intersection was it, if you remember? Because now that I actually know what Hollywood is.
It's the one it, I drove by it whenever I went to my gym. I was like, whoa, there it is. But it's the one where Home Depot's at. So
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
Oh, the one where Home
Oh,
Depot's at.
that one.
But this guy, I don't know why he didn't stop, but it was my turn to go. And Progressive Auto Policy agreed with me. This guy smashes and T-bones me, but I'm on the driver's side, so I'm ultimately fine. But my car like almost kind of tips over and I'm like, I hear like the metal crunching noise. I don't know if you remember that from your car accident, Britt. Oh, like
You're
my
like,
car just bucket.
yeah.
And then it got out of control. And then I remember I couldn't con like I was just like, oh, I don't know what to do. And then my car like went into the light pole of the Home Depot right in front. I remember looking up being like, oh, but wow, Home Depot. And then
Oh my God.
Oh, like, where are you?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It
It ended up being an Uber driver, which I feel bad about for some reason. I'm like, oh, I don't want to, like, I didn't want to ruin his grind. But, and the guy in the back seat was like getting to the Burbank airport. And I guess that really put a fork in his plans.
Yeah.
That's crazy that that happened like on the same night that you were
Yeah,
like
that's
talking about it
scary.
though.
And I wasn't gonna tell Britt because I was like, too many bad things are happening to me lately. I don't know why it was, but ultimately I was just 27. You know, most people
Yeah.
at that
Not
age.
looking forward to next year. I'm like,
Oh,
what's gonna
that's scary. You feel like that's a 27 thing? I feel like that happened to me when I was like, I feel like people talk about 23 the way they talk about 27.
They do talk about 23 like that. And
Significant age.
23 was when everything happened to me.
I think it's
Oh,
every 4
interesting.
years. Have you both been like living in LA for a while or like, 'cause I know you said you moved, did you move right after college, Britt?
So I moved in 2022. So I had like I graduated December 2021. So I had
Okay.
like a 3 month buffer. Was like chilling in Maryland for a little bit, saving up by writing these like, you know, those articles that are like 10 crazy facts about like ancient Egypt. I was one
Yeah.
of those. And I had actually like lived in LA for a short period of time. So like during the pandemic, my school like went completely online, and I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, so I took a gap semester, and Yale also gave us all like these like massive housing refunds since they had to like kick everybody out of the dorm. So I was like, oh, thousands of dollars that I don't know what to do with. I'm just gonna like take this money and like move to LA and like live in an Airbnb and like get a part-time job and just like kind of use it as like a writing retreat and also like get to know the city. And I brought along like my childhood best friend, who's like still my best friend today, and he's a musician. So we both sort of had our like little artist retreat paradise for a few months while things were like very weird and shut down. And then like during that period of like 3 months, we both were like, this is it. We're both moving to LA after we graduate.
Where did car crash come in? Like you like made it af like after you both got in the crash, or like what, like how soon after was that?
I think we were
Yeah.
in this kind of transitional period in our lives. And I think I'm kind of experiencing one now because I moved, where I get really impatient and I'm like, things need to get better, things need to happen. So me and Britt like wanted things to happen. So we're actually on the phone and we're like, do you remember? Like we had some like kind of party girl era.
It was crazy because now I like work freelance, but at that time I was like working at a production company, and I look back and I'm like, I would be out till like 3 or 4 in the morning, and then I would like get up at 8 to go to work, and like I don't know how I was able to pull that off, but I don't know.
We just needed less sleep
Adrenaline.
then, maybe. Maybe we were just like a little manic because I remember feeling that too. And now I'm so precious about my sleep. But no, we were just going to parties, seeing who we could meet. And then what am I thinking? Britt was like backstage dancing behind the dare at one point.
Well, so were you, know, in that one picture.
Oh, honey, that's like separate incidents. We
Yeah.
both. Okay,
I should
so
make
it's like Spectre
that like
Poets. It's
comical.
like dancing behind the dare, and it's like, what's the other one, Dream
Yeah,
Boy?
Dream Boy.
Getting into car crashes. Those are like the things that like bond you as friends forever.
Literally.
Yeah. And then we were in what were we were in a web series. Like we got like randomly casted as extras in a web
Oh
series.
yeah, that was also funny. We were doing like a bunch of random things together. We were like getting up to all these crazy antics, but also at the same time, when so I lived in New York for a summer, and then I also spent like a ton of time in New York during college, since like a ton of my best friends were there, and I would just take the train on weekends. So I had gone to a lot of readings in New York, hosted at KGB, a lot of them by Wonder Press. I really like the model there and how sociable people were, how friendly the writers were, and like how willing they were to socialize with people who were newer to the scene. And so I kind of had in the back of my mind, like, I want to do something like that in LA. And
Was that like happening at the time? Like, was
yeah, because the second time,
like in LA
third or
specifically, but
second time we hung out, we went to Casual Encounters
yeah.
together.
Casual Encounters was the main one that was like established at the time. And that's our friend Sammy Lorenz reading series, which he usually does. Like, he'll have it as a house party, I feel like, most typically.
And from there was this LA Times article actually about readings. And, I don't know if it was like a post-COVID thing that people just really wanted community, but I had no background. I did this thing in Brooklyn when I briefly lived here called Drafts on Tap, which was open mic, and I knew about those kind of readings, but I didn't know anything about like a curated lineup, an event. So I think it was just in the air. And then we went to Stories all the time, and we were. Like the scene was so different back then. We had Caitlin and Chris, and those were like our Archway delegates. So we hosted events at Stories.
Yeah, they were Archway Editions, the publishing imprint, and they would like host a lot of events at Stories.
Yeah. So we went to those. And then I think, yeah, we just were going to all these events, meeting all these people, and seeing that like you can kind of do whatever you want to do. So we really like the social aspect and wanting to know each other's as writers, we wanted to kind of create a space where people could do that as well. We had Jasmine of Factory Made at our first reading, which was at Footsie's.
So what do you feel like how did that kind of scene at the time that you guys were entering into with Car Crash, like what did that really look like? I guess in comparison to like, because I'm like trying to kind of quantify it in my head, Like maybe in comparison to like what New York is now, or like what the writing scene is now, or like how has it changed since then? Like what have you seen evolve? Like I think you said when we were talking before, Erin, that like there's more publications than there were, and there's like a writing tabloid type thing,
On
which
the
yeah, like would you say that it's like kind of, I guess that's multiplied in the sense of like what was happening when you guys started, or no?
I mean, I would say compared to New York, LA scene is a lot more DIY. Like at Casual Encounters, our friend Sammy's reading series, it's a lot of house parties. Definitely the vibe is very like friendly, very welcoming. When we first started, it was sort of like more intimate events or more DIY events. There's still not really too many like institutional literary parties or events out here. Every now and then, the LA Review of Books, which I also write for sometimes, will have a reading or an event. But even the LA Review of Books still has like a very indie spirit. I would say definitely over time, we've seen like a lot more reading series pop up.
So I texted Britt and Aaron after we filmed this interview because a Rolling Stone article came out about the LA writing scene that was essentially really outdated and poorly researched, and I thought it was a really good, like, timely thing that we should have talked about in this interview, especially because it's going up like after this article has come out and it's based around LA writing. And I feel like it'd be kind of inaccurate to cover the topic without touching on this since it's something that so many people are talking about right now. Essentially, the article was this piece that investigated these right-wing figures within the scene, some inaccurately, including a person named Omar King, who like made a whole statement on his Instagram. And there's like fair points made about the new right and alt writers, but it seems to try to represent something that really isn't a full picture of LA writing. And there's just a lot of discourse about it right now online, which is just interesting because I feel like Britt and Aaron being very a part of the scene, they probably can give a really good perspective of what LA actually felt like writing wise. But yeah, the article itself was like very outdated. It reminded me like of a lot of conversations that are kind of just like old about like hit pieces that felt like the early 2020s that were focused on Times Square, which is like a conversation I feel like that's kind of been wrapped up and it's not really what we're even in at this point. Kind of losing my voice because I'm sick, so that's why I sound like this. But yeah, so Britt and Aaron sent me voice memos to like give their takes about it because I feel like it's the one step deeper we kind of should have gone if this article had come out like before we interviewed them.
Hello, this is Erin reacting to the Rolling Stones article about the rising alt-right faction in the LA literary scene. First things first, car crash was not mentioned because we are not alt-right. I think right-wing ideology is so evil and cruel, and it's deplorable if you voted for Trump, especially considering the current ICE raids in not only LA but America right now. I think it's pretty clear where I stand politically. I think the article itself reflects a smaller fringe glimpse into the LA literary scene, where there are many talented writers who don't get the coverage they deserve to this degree. Beyond the contents of the article, I think this whole uncovering the right-wing faction within the art scene is perhaps not giving attention to the right people, while these people should be called out for, I mean, having these beliefs. I think we should be having discussions about technique, aesthetic, styles, or even more discussions about like authors, contemporary, classic. Instead, these right-wing people get highlighted over and over and over again, and that's quite frustrating. I have seen kind of the Times Square right-wing ideology come to LA, and it took like 5 years, I suppose, like all trends from New York do, to make its way to LA. And that's been pretty alienating and frustrating to see. But that being said, this is like not exclusive to literature. This is like in reference to a lot of art. And there's a lot of great things happening in LA regarding literature that people should look into. But I just don't think this constant focus on like these right-wing people is lending itself to any good people being attracted, be like any like it's not attracting the right people, and it's not lending itself to anyone who actually is creative or even really good at writing. If your whole goal is to shock and provoke, there's obviously great authors who have done that very strategically, but I just really haven't seen it be done well. And that's partly because I feel like a lot of people, because they see these right factions arise, they're like, oh, I could do this too without any knowledge on how to write. And they'll get attention because we keep giving attention to them. But that being said, I think if I were reading this as a teenager, I would feel very disappointed or alienated from the writing scene or contemporary literature. I remember in the 2010s, like reading about it on like Tumblr or like Twitter, maybe even Hipster Runoff, I don't remember, about contemporary literature and feeling very inspired. I thought a lot of great new things were happening, and I just don't see that kind of topic get covered anymore. I think people should know that you can be experimental and transgressive without being fascist or right wing. We should be engaging people that love literature and writing, and we should discuss more people doing cool things who are not, just perpetuating, I guess, their own right wing ideology. So I want to give a shout out to Charm School because of their well-curated publication, and they have super fun events. And I want to give a shout out to Danielle Chalosky and her new reading series. These are New York based, so LA based, continuing to shout out stories and casual encounters and factory made. But otherwise, I think Omar had come out with a statement on his Instagram about not being properly represented in the article. So we'll hear more from him. But yeah, that's just my take, is a lot of convoluted emotions and opinions on it. But I hope there's more, I guess, focus on people that are doing great things and exciting things and carving out a place in literature in this very technology addicted world. Because that's what we need right now. But hopefully that'll make sense. And I hate Donald Trump and I hate Elon Musk. I hate JD Vance. Who else? Just go through the list of the current administration and put "I hate" and then quote Aaron Satterthwaite. But anyway, that's all I think I have to say. Sorry if this was long-winded and convoluted.
This is Britt Menjivar from the parking lot of the Glendale Galleria. Let's talk about the Rolling Stone article. Initially, I wrote out a bit more of a formal statement. I essentially said, you won't find Car Crash Collective mentioned in this article about the quote-unquote anti-woke literary scene in Los Angeles, because we are not part of such a scene. Here, I'm speaking for Aaron and myself. We don't identify with those descriptors. We don't think right-wing writing is inherently daring, and we don't think daring writing is inherently right-wing. We love writing that pushes the boundaries and is controversial and experimental, and we think people on the left have historically done that and done it well. I also think the article shows that the term alt-lit at this point has become amorphous and kind of this catch-all term to describe writers who are, you know, purportedly taking risks and working outside the mainstream, but at this point it's become like very distant from its origins within like the 2010s literary movement. So yeah, I like don't really put too much stock in the descriptor alt-lit at this point, even though it's something that we all like to bandy about and have fun with. You know, it's like what Joe Jonas said about cake by the ocean. It can mean anything you want it to mean. I also just posted something on my Instagram today, on my Instagram story, which I will read out verbatim right now. I posted a photo of Maddie from Euphoria, and she's supposed to be in the show. She's saying, wait, is this play about us? I edited it to say, wait, is this article not about us? And then my caption was, I say this with the deepest love for all my peers in the LA literary community. That article didn't say all of us are part of an anti-woke writing scene, just a handful of guys. I promise you the rest of us are free to continue hosting our events and publishing work without fear of guilt by association. No one is going to assume you are a Trump supporter simply because you're reading and writing in LA. If you're on the left and earnestly grappling with controversial topics in your work, don't let discourse like this distract you from your artistic practice. Back to our regularly scheduled programming. If we all put our heads together, we can make this the funnest summer ever, which I really do believe. I think, you know, understandably, a lot of people are, like, worried that this article is, like, painting all of the DIY literary scene in LA with this broad brush. I think that those of us who are not doing anything, quote-unquote, anti-woke or right-wing, I don't think we have to worry about the article. We're not mentioned in it. You know, we're out here doing our own thing, and we know our own creative intent. And I think this will all blow over in a bit, and I like really don't want it to stop anyone or like give anybody a hesitation about hosting events or putting out their own work that like deals with heavier topics or the topics that are more out there. I mean, I'm obviously somebody who does a lot of work related to topics that aren't really fun or like pretty to talk about. I write about incels, I write about school shooters, but I mean, I think at the end of the day, a lot of people in the creative world like know that there is a way to deal with these topics from like an earnest place, a place that's not, you know, just attempting to provoke, but trying to probe at these topics. I mean, I talked a little bit about this on the podcast. Yeah, I don't think any of us on the right or on the left should like get caught up with this fear of like cancellation as like a shadowy entity that's gonna come get us. As much as I like, you know, occasionally may joke around about like dealing with topics that are edgier or more controversial, I really don't think that cancellation is like this, you know, beast that's going to come for the majority of us in the middle of the night. I think there's like a certain narcissism in getting caught up in this like paranoia of being canceled.
How do you feel like LA like shaped both of your like writing and like your tone, your style, like, or just like the writers who like existed there? Like, do you feel like that had an impact?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
I'll start saying I actually have never taken a writing class. Mm-hmm. I've always been pretty shy about my writing, even though I've loved it since I was a kid, and I always secretly wanted to be a novelist. That was always a career goal. But I always was afraid maybe that I would either, like, I don't know, I was afraid I was going to find out I was a hack in some way if I ever took a writing class. Now I don't feel like that. Now I
Yeah.
hate that. But I think that kind of lends itself to, I look back to my old writing. It's very auto-fictional, very chaotic prose. And I remember I didn't even know what prose meant. People were complimenting my prose, and I was like, thank you. I didn't know, like, there was this whole, like, writing community and, like, spirit, I suppose. Like, I never saw that in New York, and I probably would have been too afraid to put myself out there at 23, which is that's a bad age. So I think LA shaped me and just making me more confident. I think the stakes are a little bit lower over there, which is kind of nice in some way. That sounds like, I don't want to sound like I'm insulting it,
Yeah.
but that's
Like
true.
compared to like New York, you think, or like.
Yeah, maybe the stakes are a little bit higher here because it's like you could go to a reading, there could be like a publisher there, or
You don't
like.
feel that way in LA? That's interesting because I like feel like I, in my head, I'm like, oh, they're both the same way, which is maybe just not true because I don't know about LA as much.
I would say in LA, it's more likely that you're going to like meet somebody from like another industry who has like an opportunity for you. Like I'm a screenwriter as well, and I met the executive producer of one of my forthcoming features because he came to a car crash. So that kind
Okay.
of definitely still can happen. You still can kind of make those like businessy connections there, but it's less likely that you would meet somebody from like the publishing world.
Well, me and Britt were reflecting on our first visit because it's funny, a car crash is an LA institution, but we became bi-coastal. Like, was it? We started in July, I want to say, is our first car
Was
crash.
married in July 2023, and then we went to New York December
Christmas.
2023.
Yeah.
Okay.
And me and Britt had a reading, and everyone kind of just like knocked it out of the park. And we're just surrounded by all these people that have like given so much like blood, sweat, and tears to writing, and also have read so much.
Oh my God. Yeah. The first time we got dinner with Richard Hell, he was just like citing all these different authors left and right. I'd like see the looks on our faces, and he would be like, "You girls don't know who I'm talking about, do you?" We're
Oh
like,
my God. Because
and smile and nodder that I would be like,
yeah, no, I
like
get
not
that.
stop speaking
Yeah.
just because I don't know. But yeah,
And then you would
we.
give us all these recommendations, and then we'd feel like motivated to like reach out.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
great.
I feel like that's New York is like that kind of honing tradition. So, like, after that, I feel like I was on the grind for reading like way more books.
No, I feel like I get overwhelmed by like having to like read every like I want to read like everything ever whenever anyone talks about anything and then just like not having the time to do it and it like stresses me out.
I feel
Yeah.
that way too. I'm like, I just need all this knowledge, like
Yeah.
as a little chip in my brain. LA, I think, has mostly changed my writing in terms of like the content, but also, but after I moved to LA, like something about the landscapes themselves really inspired me to look at things differently because you have the desert, which is just like so different from anything I'd ever witnessed before. You have this like vast landscape that literally looks like another planet, just like, you know, a biome I had never experienced growing up on the East Coast my whole life. So I feel like that really makes you think about, yeah, like the sublime in the very like transcendental sense. And then meanwhile, in the middle of Hollywood, you have all these crazy tourist attractions like wax museums, and then there's like in Santa Monica, you have the pier with all the carnival rides. And I've always very much been interested in like tourist trap type stuff. Like informed my approach to the short stories in my book, Parasocialite, one where it's like two people turn into wolves in the Hollywood Hills at the And I'm like, I never would have written something like that before moving to LA.
That feels very,
LA energy of like anything can happen here. And I feel like that translated into my
Why,
work.
like, the Hollywood sign feels like werewolves. Like, I think it might be because of that, like, Wizards of Waverly Place episode where they all, like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Like, I don't remember the Hollywood sign in Wizards of Waverly Place. I remember like the werewolf arc.
I feel like there was like a part of it where they like went inside the Hollywood sign and then they were in like evil werewolf land or something. And like, I feel like I like associate that with the Hollywood sign.
I also feel like maybe because I don't know. I'm not sure if this is a true statement, but I will also say the fact that we're like dabble in poetry and fiction and prose, like I would say like maybe there's some kind of like unlimited sense of like who you could be as a writer. Like
Through werewolves in the Hollywood sign, or
now
sorry. Okay, sorry. Bring back to
Hollywood in
writing.
general.
I
I
mean,
yeah.
I mean, Wizards of Waverly. I'm doing the smile and nod thing because I don't know.
Okay.
Makes sense though, because it's like in Hollywood, everyone is a multi-hyphenate because you have like
Maybe
models and
that's what it is.
yeah
you know, like a
yeah
lot of these people will try to share their writing as well. Like people are just like they're wearing a lot of different hats. You kind of like have to out here, especially if you're like in the creative field and like freelancing. It's like sometimes you have to like take on super random gigs. So everybody has kind of had that DIY
Want to talk about your acting gigs, Britt?
like
Well, I
I went
actually watched
random.
your short film the other night.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. I'm so happy you checked
Yeah.
it out. Frazzle.com,
Yeah,
shout
dude, it was awesome.
out.
It was really cool because I was just like, oh, you were like a junior in college when you made that. Like,
I
that's really
was.
cool. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wait, did you like watch the interview with me that comes up after?
No, I didn't.
Good.
Yeah.
Like tell me that they watched that, but like really embarrasses me because I feel like I was so young in that. But yeah, like on that note, I feel on the note of like Hollywood and yeah, just the grandeur of LA. When I was like living in the suburbs, all of that was through the lens of social media, like online relationships, and then also sort of the parasocial relationships that you build with people in your social circle who are more like acquaintances or people you admire from a distance than actual friends. But after moving to LA, I was like, oh, you can literally just go to a party and there's like somebody that you've seen in five different movies standing next to you, and then they'll come up to you and start talking to you. And
Yeah.
that kind of thing like happens a ton here. And even just like I'm not gonna name names, but like I feel like when I was in college, I was into a lot of like micro celebrities. I just feel like there were a lot
Right,
of people
can I
whose
give
like
them a
work
hint?
there were a lot of people whose work I read from a distance or whose music I listened to from a distance. And then I went to LA and I was like, oh, I just walked past this person on the line to the
Yeah.
bathroom. Now it's like I know all these people on like a first name basis. So
Yeah.
Hey, that's my if I can give anyone advice during this. Oh, there was one thing I wanted to bring up. Post your writing to Grid. If you like it, I think you guys are on this grind. If you admire anyone, reach to them. Because I emailed Alex Kazemi after he read it stories, and I was like, I liked your book. And that's all I had to say. And now they're making a damn movie together. You see how that.
Well, I was gonna bring this up because I know, Britt, that you wrote your college thesis on Columbine and had interviewed Alex, and like that led you to then like working on the script, which is so insane. And I'm curious, like, what that's like to go from like interviewing someone and it just being like a little seed and it like becoming what it is now, which is so exciting, by the way. Congrats.
Yeah,
And
congrats. It's
we're
so
so excited to see
exciting.
it.
I'm
Thank
so
you.
excited. I'm so excited to talk about it. So, yeah, I mean, if we're like going way far back, I'm trying to figure out like how far back I should go exactly because I have such a history with like, I mean, I want to start by saying like I've never been in a school shooting. I've never been like involved with a school shooting personally, and like I don't know anyone who has. But growing up, definitely it was like school shootings were the first like, you know, news topic that really like deeply affected me on an emotional level. Like I remember the Parkland shooting happening when I was in eighth grade, and my friends and I like all were into communicating by email at that point. So we had this like email thread going like late into the night where we all just like talking about the incident and what our thoughts were on it. I had already like known I wanted to be a writer at that point, and like little 13-year-old me was like, I'm going to like write something about school shootings one day. So I had had that seed in the back of my mind for like years and years and years.
That's so
And
interesting to have as a kid.
yeah, I've been very fortunate in that like I kind of like knew from a very, very young age, like basically as soon as I was able to read, that I was like, writing is what I want to do with my life. And I had this topic weighing so heavily on me, and I was like, writing is the way I can sort of like contend with this and like maybe help in some way to contribute to a conversation around it. But I was like, this is such a vast topic. Obviously, I'm like 13. I like don't really know what to do with it. I kind of recognized I was like out of my depth with it. So I was like, I'll put that on the back burner for later. And then my first year of college, Macbeth is my favorite Shakespeare show. And I just like for some reason was like revisiting it as an adult. And I had this crazy idea where I was like, so Macbeth is about somebody who sort of like has this like existential loneliness, and then they're grappling with this like desire for power, and they contend with that through like killing other people and like resorting to violence, and they sort of like spiral and go off the rails. And I was like, what if I do an adaptation of Macbeth that is about a school shooting, and then I turn it into like a fundraiser for like school shooting victims or for gun control or like some other organization that deals with the issue of school shooting. So I did that my first year of college, and it like I was like a pussy hat wearing feminist at this point in time. Like I was not trying to do anything controversial. I like had no idea that this would like cause a stir. I was very much like, this is like my social justice project, and I'm going to like raise money through this, and like we all agree that school shootings are bad. But it turned into like a really big thing on campus because this was also around the time. Okay, so I hosted auditions for my play, I think just like a few weeks before the Parkland shooting happened. And after the Parkland shooting happened, I mean, like reasonably so, everybody was like, oh, this feels like too sensitive of a topic to deal with like immediately after that. And then also one of the discussions that was happening after in the week of the Parkland shooting was like, should we be dealing with school shootings in media or in like our, performances? Like, how exactly do we represent this issue without glorifying it or like glamorizing it?
It's really weird you were that like on the nose of like being about to make it and then the Parkland shooting happened. Like that's weird.
It was really crazy, and it like just goes to show you like kind of there is no like good time to make difficult art, because unfortunately like these terrible things are happening all the time. Like, and if it's like not happening like immediately like where you are, there's like an awful thing happening somewhere else. Like you kind of have to at some point make a decision about like, am I just going to go out there and crack open this like emotionally difficult topic? But yeah, so that like caused a bit of controversy on campus, and eventually like almost the entirety of the cast and crew dropped out of the production, and I had to postpone it by a semester. And like weirdly enough, once the Parkland shooting was like more in people's rear window, everybody kind of just like signed on to the production without a fuss. But that like really opened my eyes to school shootings, not just like as an issue in themselves, like regarding school violence, but also I realized like there's this other issue of like we don't really know how to talk about these things that affect all of us, even though we all have like these strong emotions about them. We like don't even know how to begin having these like difficult conversations that are so important to have, because yeah, like we all sort of like somebody always knows someone, or like we all have experiences with, the climate that produces this sort of like these violent and like reactionary tendencies. So that's like what ultimately inspired me to do my thesis on Columbine, which was like more broadly on like youth radicalization and how these extreme ideologies can propagate, like especially over the internet. But yeah, like so I definitely that has like remained a topic that I was like interested in exploring artistically, but again, like waiting for the right moment as like an adult going into the creative world. Like after college, I was like, yeah, I'm like never going to make a movie of like Macbeth as Columbine. That is just not gonna
Like,
work.
yeah,
Maybe
no.
I need to handle
I don't
this
think it's gonna land.
a who can say, maybe it will come to a stage near you at some point. I was like, yeah, like if I'm going to try to like do like a larger scale project to dive into this topic, like it is not going to be. When I heard of Alex's book and then I like read interviews with him that were already out on the web, I was like, wow, this is the first other person I've met who has spent like even more time than me studying Columbine in particular, which is like the focus of my research because unfortunately it is sort of served as like the blueprint for all school shooters and school shootings following. So I mean, in addition to just like reading the book and thinking it was brilliant, I was like, I need to talk to Alex just because it will be like cathartic for me to be able to go over these things with somebody who like I don't have to explain myself to, who you already like
Yeah, you're
all
like
this
interfacing.
knowledge. Yeah, this
Yeah.
knowledge. And so I reached out to him for an interview. I had also like just started freelance writing at the time, so I was like, this will be like a perfect person for one of my first interview subjects. And we just like hit it off immediately. And funnily enough, like Alex and I have talked about it since. And both of us, like without telling the other person, already had the idea, like in our, we each had the idea in our minds, like we're going to like I'm going to make a movie with you about this someday. Like you just don't know it yet. Like
Aw, that's so sweet,
that's really
though.
sweet. Oh,
Like,
that's
I was already
awesome.
thinking like New Millennium Boys would be my dream adaptation to bring to the screen. Like I need to like, you know, talk to Alex about this at some point, but I don't want to come on too strong. Stop. I
And
like feel that in my body because it's like that's so exciting that it's like
yeah,
happening now.
it was really, really thrilling. And then he was also thinking like, oh, Britt has like a background in the film industry. Like, I wonder if I can like pick her brain about this. And then eventually, so we like built up an email friendship after that interview. And then we switched to text eventually. And then Alex came to LA to do a car crash. And then from that point on, it was just like instant bestie vibes. And one day he was texting me about like, I really want New Millennium Boys to be a movie someday. Like, do you have any advice? And I was like, if you ever need a writer, like literally just hit me up. And he was like, okay, done. Like, let's
Aww.
work. So we wrote it together and it's been really great. It very much, again, feels fated because we both
Yeah.
fire from the start and we made it all real together. It's very, very pop magic of us
Yeah,
somehow.
I was gonna say, like,
Literally.
he talked a lot about manifesting. Do you feel like you, like, a lot of it for you was manifesting? Like,
I mean, I would say so. I'm like very much of the mind that a lot of manifesting is like believing in your own desire and your own ability to
Brit call it scheming.
manifest. Ooh,
Yeah. Like you're in control.
That's
Yeah, whatever.
actually like we used to do say the same exact thing
Yeah.
about we used to like do that about like getting into friend groups in college. We're like, we're scheming, we're gonna
To
make
like
them love us.
infiltrate.
But like
Yeah.
I think that's also like accidental manifesting at
I
the
think
same
they're all
time.
like the
Say
same
so.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was like the time of like when you guys like first or when you like first like met Alex to then like now?
It was 9/11 of 2023.
Yeah,
Oh my gosh.
2023.
Yeah.
So Alex and I have known each other for a long, you're right, because we did Car Crash with Alex, I think July of last year. So it's been like, oh my gosh, I've known
Came
Alex
to
for like
LA.
a
He
week and a
came to
half
the
now.
oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
Place in LA for writers, which is Stories, Books, and Cafe. And he did a reading there. And I remember it being 9/11, just because you remember every single 9/11 you've ever lived, you know?
In terms of what you were just talking about, Britt, like Aaron, because you're a school teacher, like what your perspective on the same thing is, but just like watching kids like evolve and stuff. And I'm also really curious just like how you've seen kids change in general, like from when you were in school and like what you notice while teaching. 'Cause I'm always so curious hearing people talk about like the experience of teaching now.
Yeah. So I guess me and Britt did connect on the school shooting aspect because I am a teacher. I teach middle school though, so I guess the most remarkable thing is how much incel culture, it's so weird. Like I online incel culture is now just mainstream.
Yeah.
We even have the little Rizzler kid going like, you know.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I haven't really seen my kids like fall down the manosphere type incel culture. I had one kid ask me, Miss S, would you ever use a man for his money?
Love that.
Going on an amazing field trip was my answer.
It's a good teacher answer.
Yeah. You just like, that's the thing with kids. You kind of just need to like really, you know, gentle. You can't let anything get to you. So I feel like that teaching is ego death on some level.
Yeah.
They're getting less and less on, like maybe parents are catching wind how bad it is to be online. So they're becoming less and less online these days. Like I remember
That's
my first year of teaching was 2022 and like I felt like I had nothing in common with them. And it wasn't a cell phone ban yet. We finally got cell phones banned this year. That was amazing. Like the first day cell phones were banned, like the kids were like drawing, playing Connect Four for processing this, because I remember I was really affected by, in the, every single school shooting story is like a blip now. We don't
Yeah.
So there's one, and he was very, very into 4chan, and I forget his name. But I remember sending Britt, like, I shouldn't have read this, but I read his, like, manifesto, and it's mostly memes. And I was like, kids are kind of illiterate now.
Wait, is this, like, a recent, like a school shooting?
Yeah, it was. See, we
all first I thought you meant like a student who you had.
No, but I feel like because like maybe I'm trying to connect these two thoughts of like these people not taking anything seriously at this young age, and they're dealing with these like very violent and real events, and it gets memeified, then it gets turned into a joke, and then I saw this new school shooter guy. And I read his manifesto and it was mostly memes. So I was like, one, kids are illiterate. Two, which probably is my fault. I should get them reading more. But, but like, I just worry for kids online that if we don't take anything seriously, then, you know, it's going to end up like this. Like, why is the White House posting the studio, like, why is
okay, well, if our president's posting what he's posting, like, it makes sense why everyone's desensitized to what they are.
But
it's so interesting because I feel like even I remember when I was in middle school, like, I feel like that was like a thing that was like really like bad to joke, like no one joked about like 9/11, you know. And then I remember when we got to like college,
see, my school was not, they did that.
Really?
Yeah.
So then maybe
they
did that,
and they said the n-word in the hallway. Like it was like bad. But I think you just had like better,
maybe I just blocked it out
because you said that you feel like kids are less online. Like, do you think they're less online, or do you think that it's just like so normal to like know everything from the internet at this point that it's just like assimilated into our culture?
It's kind of a lame thing. Like in my, when I was growing up, it was cool to be online. Like you could not connect with anyone in your hometown because they were so normy.
Yeah.
And, so uncool that you'd go on Twitter and you would have all these online friends. Like that then became Instagram. Then that became Twitter. And I've always been online and I've always had online friendships.
Yeah.
Now I feel with this kind of like right wing takeover, it's these like very isolated, angry, kind of no friends in real life. Like it is back to like being the online loser.
It like was
like the something awful forums. Like it used to be like uncool to be online.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is probably just my personal opinion that I'm like projecting onto like culture, which, you know, I have nothing else perspective, but I do feel like it's becoming less chic to be online too. Maybe the kids are picking that up. Like I remember brain rot became an insult, and that was great for me.
Yeah.
Said a like meme I didn't like a verbal meme. I don't know what to call it, like a vocal tick. I would be like brain rot alert, and they would stop. So
That's so
wait, that's so
funny.
funny as like an adult to be like using, like, because I remember being younger and like when a teacher was tapped in, it was very, very rare. So it's Yeah.
interesting that in that aspect too of like watching our generation and like just become teachers and like watching them like know what kids are doing and like have an awareness, because it's never going to be like how it was when like we were growing up, like, and like
Yeah.
adults didn't understand it, because like it's just like never going to have that specific era again.
Gonna ask about like seeing like literacy decline in like kids and like how bad that is, because I'm just also like very fascinated by that. Like we were talking to Matthew Gosta about it because he was like also a teacher, and just like saying how it's gotten like really, really bad.
Yeah, it has. I mean, I feel like I go into like some kind of like schizophrenic psychosis type thing whenever I read an article about it. Now kids are taught how to read for a test more so small paragraphs, and now we have kids going to college that have never finished a book. I feel like maybe the trend moving forward, here's my predictions, we're either going to get worse and it's going to be dystopian and awful, or maybe becoming offline will become more chic, and with that, reading will be more popular. Like, because maybe we'll be like the Urban Outfitters records renaissance in the
It's really interesting how like the culture is moving towards like, oh, like you're cool if you go to readings, like you're cool if you're
yeah.
reading your poems, like, and like this like scene, and it's like I feel like scene culture is this like whole other thing, but it's actually embracing something that's like pretty positive and something that like we're just like moving away from that like
There's like a critique
humans need.
of readings. I'm always like, no,
Yeah.
no, they're good. I don't know. Do you guys have any? This is a question for the culture, and the culture is the Zoom meeting right now. How do you guys feel about like the book? I'm not on TikTok. I'm bragging, but how do you guys feel about like the book talk renaissance?
Oh, I mean, I'm not on TikTok either. Like I was on it a little bit. I hated it when it was happening, and I like wrote an article about like A Little Life blowing up on BookTok, because it's like such
Oh,
a,
that's so
like, I hate that
interesting.
book. So
Yeah.
I'm like, and kids think this is good. Like that's scary to me.
But it
But
is, I like have seen like now, because I'm just like on TikTok, like mainly to like promote the podcast. We were in like a bookstore in Philly, and there's like this whole like shelf just like of like book talk, like books, and it's like literally just like Wattpad, like YA like books. And there's like that side of it, but then also there's like I feel like I see people on like TikTok like talking about like Joan Didion or like Eve
yeah,
Babbitt and
or like
like,
glamorizing Infinite Jest and
yeah,
like
and
Camus and stuff
that.
like that, like, so I,
Yeah.
yeah.
I feel like it like can go either way, which is really interesting.
If
I
it
have.
becomes aestheticized like that, then so be it, as long as people are reading it, I guess.
Yeah.
On one hand, you hear about people talking about like this like conservative puritanical wave in culture, and I'm like, if people are like safely exploring their desires through reading and writing, that's probably like one of the healthier ways to do so. But on
Yeah.
the other hand, I'm like, some of this stuff, you take a look at it and I'm like, this is just such toxic slop that is especially of like young and impressionable people. Now I sound like super like,
No.
but I'm like, if young impressionable people are like reading these books that are like marketed with these shiny covers on like a Barnes and Noble, in a Barnes and Noble display, and then you like look at the cover and it's like the time I went on a naughty vacation with my uncle. It's like, you shouldn't, like, no, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
I like
Yeah.
saw a Twitter thread about this like book talk writer who's apparently really popular, and all her books are about like incest with like very young women and like older male family members. And I'm like, yeah, like 15 years old, and you like get really into this like incest series. Like, I don't think that's going to aid your brain development in a positive way.
I guess 50 Shades was popular.
Oh my God. Well, that was kind of the first,
Yeah.
like, or not the first, but it was just like a very big moment for like a sexual book to have like a mainstream moment, I feel like. Like, I feel like I don't remember, or maybe I was just too young to know, but like, that like changed things, it felt like.
Perhaps it did.
It really did. I don't know. I have a very similar distaste for 50 Shades of Grey because I think it takes these ideas where, like, in the hands of more responsible people, it could just be like a fantasy or something fun. But then if you like look at the actual like interactions that are described, it's like this is just straight up like verbal and
Relationship.
physical abuse and like coercion.
This is like so not what we are talking about right now, but I didn't want to forget to ask this because we didn't in the beginning, but like just because you guys are talking about experiences of like even just comparing to kids now, I'm curious what your guys' actual like online experiences were when you were younger. Like what parts of the internet were you on? Like what communities and like what like made you like what are you even like comparing to pretty much?
Okay, I'm very eager to
Andrew.
talk about. Oh. Oh my gosh, yeah. When Aaron and I hung out for the first time, I talked a lot about how I used to be like a big fan of like the Nancy Drew PC point and click adventure games, and
Oh
they had
my
this
gosh.
really big online community, and I was like always active on the forums. Like I feel like my experience of the internet growing up. My parents were like honestly pretty strict, which I feel like has directly led to me having such like weird and freaky tastes as an adult. But like as a child, I was very much like spending a lot of time since I didn't really have like proper social media until I was a little bit older. I was spending a lot of time on, I mean, like when I was much younger, I was on like Webkinz and like Pixie Hollow. As a teenager, I got more so into like niche forums and message boards related to like particular interests of mine. And like, I'm going to show how nerdy I am by like letting you know which forums I was on. I was really active on the Nancy Drew point and click PC Adventure Games forum. Interactive. It is still like one of my dreams to like adapt one of their games for the screen or like write one of their games someday. So if anybody has any connections, I was also really active on this like American Girl doll fandom for
Oh my
like
God, stop.
my younger sister, the two of us like used to make all these like videos together with our American Girl dolls where we like come
Aww.
plots and script for
Like
them.
YouTube, like American Girl YouTube
We would like
type
post them
stuff.
to, yeah,
Yeah, I used to watch
YouTube.
those.
Oh my gosh, yeah. There's like a lot of like American Girl stop motion videos going on. I thought I was so elite because I was like, we never use any stop motion in our videos. Just like sort of like came up with creative ways to like puppeteer the doll so it looked like they were like moving in real time. But yeah, this was like one of my little passion projects as a young teenager. And there was always like so much weird drama on the forums. Like I specifically remember this one girl who was like, she had like crushes on a lot of like the animated characters from Recess, and she would always like drag that into discussions of the American Girl dolls, and everybody would get so mad at her because they're like, this is about American Girl dolls. It's not about like TJ from Recess.
Oh
And
my
then also people
God.
would like call her weird for having crushes on animated characters and just
Oh my
being like,
God.
honestly, that's just plain wrong. You can't do that.
I wish that this was still what we were fighting about because it'd be
Literally.
so
Oh, it
funny.
was
Also,
so
like
simple back
the
then.
drama from like being a kid in like that sort of community was so funny. And also, yeah, I used to watch those videos. I also used to like watch the like I feel like there was like that too for like a bunch of different like collectible things. Like I feel like there was like Polly Pocket of that or like Barbie of that or whatever. And also just like Club Penguin Webkinz like type YouTube sphere that like feels very linked in my head to like the American Girl Doll YouTube like
Yeah,
community.
I feel like it's all kind of the same universe. And then to be clear, after I like went through my American Girl doll phase and Nancy Drew, I'm not gonna call Nancy Drew a phase because I still play those games, but I obviously after that I got really into like Pinterest and then also really into Tumblr. And there's also this like now defunct website called We Heart It that was
Oh
like
my
my
God,
vibe.
I loved
I
We
was so
Heart
into We
It.
Heart It. I was like always making boards on there.
I think I mentioned it, but mostly I would say I'm like a product of Tumblr. That shaped a lot of my tastes in movies, books, and I mean, I somewhat engaged with like Tumblr poetry as well. which we're still seeing the effects of to this day. I was on songmeetings.com.
Oh, song meetings was so big. I was always there.
I'm trying to think. I almost fell into like the nerd culture. I'd like forgotten about this until I talked about it with someone recently, and I was like, oh. But I was like very into Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And then I feel like that caused me to be into like a Firefly and then like any Joss Whedon thing that was going on. But then I think once the Avengers happened, that's where I was like, okay.
That was like your breaking point.
I think that point, I think I had just grown up too.
It's about because we were kind of talking about online friendship and like that just being very normal as a kid and stuff. Like now it feels like that's like having a resurgence, at least to me. I feel like I see it in like scene culture too, just like in New York specifically, but even just like, oh, we all became friends kind of through the internet too. And like I'm curious like what that looks like in your lives and like also just like if it's weird for you like as people who grew up online and like spent so much time interacting with like young people and it kind of having this like oh like I don't know 'cause like I feel like to me it feels like there was like a separation between the two things where I was like oh wait I'm like a kid online and then I like went to college and was normal and like made friends in person and then I like came back to the internet after college almost as this like, oh wait, I like need this again.
When used correctly, it is like a facilitator of relationships and like on Tumblr, like it did curate a actually pretty refined taste for a young teenage girl such as myself. I feel like when used correctly, I use it to make friendships. And I think sometimes I wonder if that freaks people out because other people see it as like a passive thing. And I follow is like, oh, you like want to be my friend.
Yeah, no,
When
I
I'm
do the same
interesting.
way.
I feel the same way too.
I react to their stories like they're meant for me.
I feel like since I forged this like friendship through the internet with you and then like continue to do that with other people, now I'm very like loose with my online affection, but it's like all very sincere. Like I'll reply to people's stories and I'll like everything and I'll DM people and like get in touch with them because I'm like it is really exciting that we can connect in this way and I like don't want to take that privilege for granted. And I would say that the internet is like best used as a tool to help you get offline, ironically.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, it's funny. I think I saw Charm School, or I forget if I followed Bernard first because he was hosting some reading pre-Charm School. But I met Bernard and Vivi that way. And then I was like, this is so funny. This is like East Coast, me and Brit with kind of like
Wait,
youth.
they were like saying something very similar to us like a few days ago
We
about you
were
guys.
around that way. Is it Brit's the Vivi and I'm Bernard?
Yeah, that's so funny. That's like they said that because we were all like hanging out at my house watching a movie and we were
That's so
talking. And
cute.
they were like, every lit publication has a Bernard and
What
Vivian
do you guys
cast.
think?
I think I'm the Vivi and
And
Sierra
I'm
the
Bernard.
Bernard.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see it. But yeah, I think having a duo especially has always been my like kind of dream too. So I'm so happy we can do Car Crash together. Because I feel like Brit is like almost like the whimsy. That it's like hard for me to like I'm kind of like restricted and I always have been. I'm like I make up these rules in my head where I'm like I can't do this if I haven't done this yet or like and Britt kind of doesn't have that mentality and I've been like feeding off that ever since. So
Thank
that's
you.
really sweet.
and also I think if you're a Vivi you're like a weird ass pretty girl and you don't people think
That's awesome.
and then I
I'm so
don't
happy to associate with the VBs.
know the BBs of the world. And then if you're Bernard, you're I don't know. You're just as weird, but maybe like
Like mysterious pretty boy.
mysterious pretty
Mysterious
boy.
pretty boy.
But also
Yeah.
nerd, but also nerd.
You're like on top of it. That's what I really admire about you. Because like if you say you're gonna send the email, you like immediately open your browser and start typing the email. I'll be like, I'm gonna email them right now, and then it's like 2 days later.
Another question I had was like what you guys feel like you've learned from each other as like writers. and just like through your friendship. But I feel like that's like, yeah.
Yeah, through writing, I share my drafts with Brit. So it's good to have like a friend to look over your drafts.
It's really, really nice.
Also, like, you know, we're both on like the wanting to be published grind. So we're always like sharing, like, oh, I think this publication's cool.
Motivate me to have another close friend who's like equally dedicated to the craft because I found that a lot of people are more interested in like kind of, I don't know, I feel like it is easy to be more interested in like sort of chasing the high of having your work out there, but like really putting in the effort to make sure the work shines as brightly as it possibly can is very important. And that's something that like Erin really dedicates herself to. And I'm glad that we can like lock in and polish our work together.
Think just having someone who you're also not competitive with, because I feel like that's a lot of the trap I see is that, like, well, isn't the girl so confusing kind of trap? Where when Brit's like accomplished, I'm like, damn, I'm on the ups too. Like,
Like we're all eating tonight.
you want to form these genuine friendships. I think there often is maybe the pit of getting like competitive, but maybe you just need to go through that horrible flop era and have your ego destroyed, and then you kind of don't have that with people. Oh, I am jealous of one thing Britt has. Britt has like more stalkers. I have zero.
Damn, how do we get
I
some?
Oh my gosh. I can literally
Britt's
tell
like, I have
you
some
who to follow
recommendations.
and they will start stalking you. I had this one stalker and like hopefully he doesn't find this. I don't think he will because I finally like pulled the plug and blocked him. There's like tons of people who like initially reach out to me through Instagram, slides into my DMs wanting to talk about writing or literature, and then they come up to me and see me in person. I'm always like so happy to get to know them. But if it's like somebody who's just like sending up fire emojis to like all my selfies and then they come to car crash and they like stand in the back and just like stare at me the whole time and then I'm like, that's weird. And I finally ended up blocking this guy because he like slid up on a photo of me like eating a pretzel from Wetzel's Pretzels. And he said, I know how to get you a real good deal at Wetzel's Pretzels. And I was like, that's just too weird. Like you're looking for
I hate
any in at
that.
this point. Like you don't have a deal at Wetzel's Pretzels, or like if you do, you can like cool, I guess.
You don't have a deal at
But
Wetzel's
I
Pretzels.
know. I was like, this is too desperate. Like I can't deal with
Oh
it.
my God.
Like, yeah, I feel like Brit has kind of like a fan, like they draw you and stuff too, your fans.
Oh yeah, I had
I
like
feel like you have the
flow.
mysteriousness about you. It like makes sense.
Yeah.
Like your look
He
is very like,
someone called her like a goth beauty. And I've always said like praying model is kind of her
I
look.
feel like if so many of these people like came up and had like one conversation with me, then it's like you would see that I'm like the biggest like nerd in the world and you would stop like projecting like whatever weird ideas onto me. Like I'm very much like an open book of a person, but I guess like on social media, people can like see whatever they want to see.
No, and I feel like you give that a lot. Like, I feel like I look at your Instagram, and I'm like, wait, I'm scared of her. She seems so cool.
Yeah,
And,
like the
like,
like
obviously, you're
mystery.
actually really cool. And, like, even, and I think it's cooler to be a person who you can have a, like, you can speak to and not be scared of. But, like, I get that. Like, it's interesting how Instagram does that. And I was thinking a lot recently about how just, like, in general, like, I feel like I've been having this like anxiety because so many people here are from the internet. Like, everyone on like at that reading that we were at, like the charm school reading, like I
Central.
knew
I had to
literally.
go up and introduce myself as Suburban Cutie.
No, and I heard you doing that. I was gonna ask you because like it's interesting that you're like, oh, hi, I'm Suburban Cutie, because like that just feels very nostalgic to me of like what I did as a kid, like at like VidCon, because that
What was
was the only
like
time I ever went to LA was for
saying your like
VidCon.
Twitter
I
handle?
love screen name.
My screen name, I had a few accounts, like the one for my YouTube my YouTube stan account was Extra Tana because I was a Tana
Oh my
Mojo
God.
stan.
Tricking people into thinking it's like a bloopers reel of her vlogs or something.
Well, no, the word extra was like such a thing there where it was like, oh, you're being extra, and that, so it was
Oh
like that.
yeah. That's
Oh
so
my
funny.
God. But thank you guys so much for coming on and for
Yeah.
chatting. I'm just like very excited to talk to you guys and like become friends too, because like You guys were just so nice. Like, I literally DM'd you, and then you guys were like, yeah, you can read at a reading. And like that, like, I think that's just like, we need more people who are that welcoming and nice. So you guys are doing the very lovely, amazing
Yeah.
things.
You two are so welcoming and nice, and I can't wait to like actually meet you in person and hang out when I'm in New York in September.
No, I know, it'll
I'm
be
so
so fun. The
excited.
reading will be a
Yeah.
movie.
Yeah.
Really
Well,
will. We have one more thing, and you guys probably know
the thing that we have
that.
everyone say.
Yeah, I asked my friend Lars, because they went to prom together.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they are. I don't think they're still in contact, but maybe.
Dude, fucking no one's in contact
No
with him
one's in
anymore.
contact. I respect your
Yes.
hustle because, like, somebody's going to have a connection at some point. And also,
Yeah.
like, I literally would do the same for Damon
Oh my God.
Albarn. So,
Yeah.
you have to be a
Yeah.
fangirl sometimes. It gets you places.
To me and Brit trying to do it at the same
Yeah,
time.
that'd be
You know the thing that's so
Yeah.
really fun. Hey, Aaron Satterthwaite.
And I, Brittany Menjivar,
hereby
hereby request
request
Josh
Josh Ovi
Ovalle for collaboration
collaboration with the
with the
Internet
Internet
Is
Is
Dead
Dead
podcast.
podcast. Please
Please, Josh, be a
be a
guest on
guest on this podcast. We miss you.
the podcast.
That
Thank you.
was
He's like rocking back and forth, going like, "Help!" after
Yeah,
hearing that,
literally, I think
if
probably,
he
like,
ever hears that,
that's
I don't
the
think he like
visual I
wants
have.
anything
He just
about her.